Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Hello, Lansing. This is Kelly Rossman McKinney in for Jack Ebling on the Ebling and You Show, 1320 WILS. And joining me, as we do, I believe, every Friday, is Bill Ballinger with Inside Michigan Politics. Bill, welcome to the show. You got me solo today, baby.
Well, welcome, Kelly. Are you awake?
Yeah, barely.
Were you up all night?
Yeah, in fact, that's one of the things I thought we'd talk about is last night's session that didn't end until, what, close to 7 o'clock this morning, right?
Well, you probably just got up then. You've been sleeping for about the last 9 hours trying to catch up, right?
Well, sweetheart, I gave up the ghost at about 12:30 last night. You know, we, as you know, the Rossman Group feeds the lobbyists, and we started feeding them at noon yesterday, and we were still going strong. I think my guys finally left about 1:30, put all the juice and water we had in the coolers, all the cookies, all the Slim Jims, you name it, we threw it out there.
Well, but you mean they left at one and left all the food and drink to the legislators' devices without any overseeing control by the Rossman Group?
Yes, and let me just point out, when you say drink, we're talking about caffeinated beverages opposed to alcohol.
Yeah,
and in fact, hey, Bill, can we talk? This was the last working session of the 95th legislature, and if I'm not mistaken, they ended session on December 3rd. I've worked in and around the legislature since 1979. I don't recall them ever adjourning this early in December. I got a faulty recollection.
Yeah, in recent history, I think you're right. I mean, this is pretty early. Yeah, they have, you know, gone up at least to mid-December. Sometimes, of course, the famous, you know, Christmas Eve Accord. You remember back in 1993 when they put together Proposal A?
Oh, my gosh. I totally forgot that was Christmas Eve, crying out loud.
That was Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1993. And they put it on the ballot, you know, for the following I think it was in March, and it passed, and the rest is history. You're right, but you got to remember, Kelly, in the old days, they didn't even have lame duck sessions most of the time. They didn't come back at all after the election. I mean, lame duck sessions are a fairly recent phenomenon, and in fact, they've been pretty unproductive as actual engines of legislation, even when the legislature started meeting after the election before the end of the year. That 7-week period is called the lame duck period. So, you know, there have been mixed successes and failures over the last, I'd say, 40 years. I think where lame duck has really become more significant is in the era of term limits, which began in 1992. Remember, the ballot proposal passed then. Mm-hmm. And I think nowadays, with the heavy turnover in the legislature, so many people leaving at one time. I mean, you know, last night in the House, you had all these members leaving, an incredible number of legislators, 61 leaving last night, and they all want to give farewell speeches.
How'd that go? Well, in fact, I got a question for you. Speaking of farewell speeches, were there any that were memorable? Because it used to be back in, you know, my day that there, first of all, there were only a handful of legislators at any given time, and they were really, some of them, quite compelling.
Well, they were, but of course, then they really had something to say.
Well, Cushingberry, for example, George Cushingberry, I understand he gave about a 45-minute farewell speech.
Well, I didn't realize it was that long. Andy Dillon, the speaker, gave one for 22 minutes, which was pretty darn long. I think one of the most memorable lines of the night was Mike Bishop over in the Senate looking over at a wall of the Senate chamber where his entire staff was lined up along the wall. And he said, "I feel like my staff is here attending. I feel like I'm attending my own funeral."
Well,
that's the way a lot of these guys look at it. I mean, you know, that's one of the sad parts of term limits is that these people get in the legislature and they barely have time to hit the ground running and get going and get a sense of how everything works, and they're out the door. They're gone, and I think they feel like unfulfilled. You know, I think they just feel something is lost and missing here, and I've never really been able to connect and, you know, make the things happen that I thought I could make happen. And remember, there were 11 incumbents defeated in the House, people who expected to come back and were defeated. And so, you know, it's kind of a tough situation. It really is. And there's a lot of sentiment and a lot of nostalgia and a lot of emotion. And, you know, the speaker tries to work them all in, and he cautions them not to talk too long. And then he pulls
22 minutes. Well, apparently, according to Chris Kristof from the Detroit Free Press, Mickey Switalski, State Senator Switalski from, I think, is he Roseville? I know Macomb County.
Yeah, Roseville, Macomb County, you're right.
He apparently sang his farewell speech with backup singers, Senators Deb Cherry, Gilda Jacobs, and Martha Scott. And I said, oh, that sounds fabulous. And Chris said, oh, it was actually quite pathetic. Humorous, apparently, in terms of the words, and not quite eloquent in terms of execution.
Yeah. Well, Switalski has sung before. I mean, at least, I'm wrong about that. No, I think this is the first time he's actually sung. But he's recited poems.
Well, of course.
Every year, apparently. I mean, even before he was term limited and on his way out, he writes the poems and then he recites them on the Senate floor, kind of on the last day of session.
Well, and again, we're talking with Bill Ballinger here. Bill, we were talking about term limits just a minute ago. At what point do you think the electorate will really understand what I think you and I have known for a long time, and that is that term limits is not doing Michigan voters any favors?
Well, I think, first of all, the broad electorate, honestly, Kelly, I hate to say it, but I don't think they really do understand it yet. You get outside of about a five-block radius from the state capitol, and frankly, most polls show that people feel pretty much the same way about term limits they did back in 1992. They think they're probably a pretty good idea. Now, you and I and, you know, the news media as a whole and government observers, political observers, we all agree this thing ain't working. You know, it should be changed. Now, the real issue is, you know, is there any practical way to do away with term limits entirely, or is it more reasonable to suggest the best we can hope for is to tweak them, you know, to amend it, you know, maybe make them more flexible. The other big issue, Kelly, is not so much how the broad public feels at this point about term limits. It's who is going to take the step to get it on the ballot. That's the issue. And we both notice, for all the hand-wringing and the moaning from the news media and the lobbying corps about how terrible term limits is, has anybody mounted a petition drive in the last 18 years? You know, that's how we got term limits. There was a petition drive mounted to put it on the ballot. Nobody wants to undertake a petition drive because, first of all, that would take an enormous amount of money and effort. And then, secondly, if it gets on the ballot, it's going to take a lot of money more to get it passed. And all the polls show that it's a very dicey thing. It probably wouldn't pass, or it might not pass. They've tried to overturn it twice on the ballot in California, and it's lost both times. So the only other way to get it on the ballot is what the lobbyists always try and get the legislators to do, and that is walk the plank. Come up with a two-thirds majority, which requires bipartisan support in both chambers, to either repeal or amend term limits. Well, now stop and think about it. First of all, if you're a legislator, a lot of these legislators, first of all of them are there because of term limits,
right,
which looks pretty bad. Now that they're inside the barn, they want to close it and say, keep us here, et cetera. Secondly, you know, if you stop and think about it, practically speaking, if you're in the minority, the only way, and I'm going to say the only way, because this year was an example of it not being the only way, but the principal way, and the way that's almost always the one that works, is you got to get open seats, right? You got to have a large number of open seats. You can't be running against incumbents because incumbents are tough to beat, except for this year.
Except this year. And you know what, Bill? I think we're gonna go ahead and limit our time together right now.
Because we've got like Andy Dillon.
You
here.
Are, my gosh, going on 22 minutes there, baby. Here's what we're going to do. I want to thank Bill Ballinger, Inside Michigan Politics. I know you'll be on with Jack next Friday.
Okay.
And we are going to cut to news and a commercial break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks.